We have one of our 1979 grads, friend of mine, that I preached, the first time I preached there was October 1985. First time I preached at Spokane Christian Center, and since then there have been many times. And actually, my grandmother went on to be with the Lord right at that time, and we had to get back, but praise the Lord. Rick has been a close friend of mine for many years, and when Dad went home to be with the Lord, Rick Sharkey, he texted me and encouraging me, and from that day to this, at least twice a week, he texts me and says something to me, and I'll text back with him. He'll ask about the grandkids and stuff. And I really appreciate this guy. He's just been a real friend. And I want you to give him a good rhyme of welcome now, Pastor Rick Sharkey from Spokane, Washington.
Praise the Lord. Nice words. Thank you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's my honor and privilege to be here with you tonight. And share the word with you. I appreciate this house. It's been in my life. It's an important part of my history. It's an important part of my future. I'm very thankful for what God has done in me, my family. My daughter came to Bible school here. She worked with Miss Denise for a few years. Now she's ahead of our children's ministry and doing great. We're blessed to be here, thankful for it, excited to be here. We have friends and connections here. That's what ministry really is, an important part of it, is to have connections and people in your life. And you watch people grow up, knew Craig before he had kids, Denise before they had kids, and now their kids are all grown up, and who knows all what's going on. You know, we're from Spokane, and it's quite a ways from here. I love the depth of Rhema. I mean, the presence of God is so good on this campus. If you live here and this is your house and things, you just need to appreciate what you have and be grateful for the pastors and the leaders and the legacy that's been in this house, that's continuing in this house. I mean, I love the depth. The worship is wonderful. Isn't the worship great? It's awesome. You think, oh, it's every day. You just go out the left coast out there. You know, for a little bit. It's not the Bible Belt on the left coast. You know, we don't even have Bible pants on the West Coast. So, I appreciate everything. I appreciate the people, the history. You know, Brother Tony, appreciate him. Half the man he used to be. Praise the Lord. And you know what? I really appreciate his hard work on that. That took a long time. It takes tenacity to lose, 90 pounds. And how many appreciate people that do things like that? I do too. Let's give Tony a big hand. He wants a little attention. Tony's such a great friend of mine and our church and things. Linda and I, my wife, she's home taking care of the house at home. And, we went on a diet. Not too long ago, we didn't lose much weight. It was a banana and coconut diet. Anybody ever hear that diet? Well, I can see why. We didn't lose much weight, but man, we can really climb a tree. It's a fact. It's a fact. Praise the Lord. I appreciate the legacy, Pastor Cher, that I graduated in 79. We was the fifth class. And at that time, Rhema was still growing, gaining momentum. There was no Rhema Bible Church then. There was no ministerial association. There was no ordinations. There was no licensing things. We was just getting started. But now it's gaining momentum with all the Bible schools overseas, all the churches. It's a wonderful thing. I am appreciative of my legacy. I'm appreciative of my heritage. I'm grateful for the leadership of Pastor Ken, friendship that we have, but I appreciate his leadership more than anything. His tenacity to go through so many things over the years and keep the torch burning and the light bright. Can you say amen, church? How many appreciate this? This is your Wednesday crowd. How many appreciate your church? Amen. So with that said, you know, and I want to spend more time, but I can't, because I want to be able to share the word I believe the Lord has prompted in my heart to have. I appreciate, I mean, I'm ordained here, licensed here. I see Pastor Ken as a prominent leader, pastoral in my life. And I appreciate heritage. I appreciate the providence of the Lord. Look that word up sometime and find out what that word means, the providence of the Lord. It's important. I want us to turn as we go to the book. I want us to look real quick to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. That's where we're going to launch from. I respect our time and things, but we can. I believe we can get all this out. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. I believe this is, you know, I've not preached this before, so I believe it's a word for this house, a timely word. And for you tonight, for your ears. And second, we know this verse well. A lot, I captured the most of the depth of it here. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. As soon as I find it, I tell you to go, and I don't get it. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man, say any man. If any man. So that isn't special people, smart people, pretty people. It's anybody. Any person be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who's reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. There's a lot more. We're going to stop right there for the sake of tonight. I want to call attention to this. Something that I did, the Lord dropped it for me, is this. There's any man be in Christ, old things are past. All things are new, and all things are of God. There's things involved with this. There's old things, there's new things, and there's all things. Say that with me. There's old things, there's all things, and there's new things. So the subject matter is that God does things with power and technique and skills in our life. They're called things. Old things are past. All things are new. And all things are of God. I love that. What we've got to discover is what the things are. What has passed? What is new? What are those things in our life? Because that's what's supposed to be working. There are things that pass in our life. Our old sin nature, old guilt consciousness should pass. Things need to get out of our life. Can you say amen, church? I used to be angry. That thing needs to be out because you're a new creature. All things are new. But sometimes we don't get the grip on that. We don't catch that lesson. If we could develop the things that God has put in our life, I'll tell you, we would be so much stronger. Hell will not. Jesus said, I will build my church, and hell will not prevail against it. I'm just tired of the devil beating up people and the church. I'm tired of things being manipulated. So what do we do about it? We can complain, or we can stir up the things that God has put in our house. The problem isn't with God. It's us not knowing what things need to be stirred in our lives. Can you say amen? All things, or some things need to pass, but some things need to be propagated, the new things. God embeds things in your spirit. The issue is we got to keep developing that. Now, I've been pastoring 36 years, and I'm not going to let myself get into a rut. I'm not going to lose the newness of my salvation. There's things that God needs to grow inside of you, and it's your decision to capture those things and make us better, to make us stronger, to make us more efficient. I grew up in a church where the law was dominant. I knew the thou shalt not. I did grow up in church, and the law was dominant. I learned the law, the thou shalt nots. You shouldn't do this. Some things were Bible and some things were the denominational rut that they put on you. You know, how when you comb your hair and clothes you wear and holidays and all those things. And because I knew the law, I always was learning what not to do and what I wasn't. But when I came here to this place, I started learning the new things. The things God put in my spirit, the things that God put in my heart. What are some of those new things? Some of those new things is that I learned here, those things, was I learned about faith. Thank God I learned about faith. Faith that moves a mountain. Faith that speaks of things that be not as though they're. That is an embedded power, strength, force on the inside of each of us. And you can have underdeveloped faith or you can have your faith growing. It's up to you. We got to keep growing our faith. That's a thing inside of us. That's an attribute inside of us. The love of God. We got to keep developing, growing, nurturing, and sharpening the love that's in our heart. Love covers the multitude of sin. Without love, faith doesn't work. Faith works by love. You know, I can't lose that message. Never. It's not an old message. It's a current thing. It's a current thing in our lives. I've got to keep sharpening that thing of stewardship in my life. You know, you got to take care of what God puts in your hand. What's in your hand? A staff? What's in your hand? A bus? We have buses for kids on Saturdays. You know, that's a thing. It's a skill. It's a knock on doors. We have a school and we have an academic school. We have a daycare. We have a Saturday program. These are things in our life that we've got to keep growing and developing, become better. You know, and stewardship of those things. You know, we have a 30-acre campus and you have to take care of that thing. Lawn don't mow by itself. Facilities don't take care of themselves. We've had our facility for 32 years now. And things just have to be brought up. Things on this campus have to be renewed and rebuilt and repainted and so on. Stewardship is a thing in our life. Giving is a thing. The devil, the world, your flesh wants you to tone down the things in your life and get you out of those things that are new and those things that are all of God. There's things like forgiveness. You can go soft on forgiveness. Forgiveness can't go sleepy in your life. You have to be strong in your forgiveness because you will be offended. How many's ever been offended? Like this today. Like on the turnpike. Like at a stop sign. And you know, I think offense is one of the most powerful tools that the enemy uses. And he gets the church offended and pouty and negative and it goes rough and goes bad on you. I think a thing in our life is thanksgiving. Prayers, supplications, and giving of thanks. I've been the last couple of years really stirring myself up to be thankful. Thankful isn't a distant thought. It isn't a holiday in November. Thanksgiving is something. Prayers, supplication, giving of thanks. Let your requests be made known unto the Lord. I learned that here. Thanksgiving. Be thankful for the little things and the big things. How many are thankful tonight? Catch yourself doing that. Being thankful. What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? Does it come out quick or is it slow? We need to have the thing of giving in our lives. God loves the cheerful giver. You need to know how to give. Keep that giving muscle growing on the inside of you. Are you with me, church? Amen. This is a church crowd. I love church. How many love church? I love church. I'm never tired of it. I will not let myself become tired of it. I love church. I want you to love church. How many love your church right here? You need to be thankful for it. You need to be praying for it. You need to be sowing into this thing. You need to be looking for chances and opportunities to make this a better place. To be praying for it and to be thankful for it. So I've talked about some things in our life. Things that we need to do in our lives to stay the glorious church without spot or wrinkle. I just am involved with a series in my church. What makes the glorious church glorious? Do you know? Is it just a figure of speech? No, we can't get into a rut. We have to stay strong. I'm going to talk about something tonight. Really, this is just a warm-up. I'm going to talk about a thing that we need to steward in our lives, a thing that God has given us. And I'm going to talk about this. It's called relationships. I think the church should be the model of what a God relationship does in this earth. We need to be seen instead of known as, you know, church fights, church splits, schisms, divisions, all this stuff. If I had the people that have left my church in 36 years come to my church one Sunday, we'd be the biggest church in the North American continent. How many know what I'm saying? Relationships take skills. It takes effort. It takes a lot. It takes God work. Not hard work, God work. Relationships, they're important. I want to refer to a verse. It's in Matthew 19 and 16. They're going to bring it up on the screen. But Matthew 19 and 16 says, "And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder." I know he's talking about a husband and wife because they were looking for an out, an easy out, a routine out of marriage. And they said, "You do it for this reason, and this is why it was wrong," and so on. And he makes this statement, which it goes beyond just husband and wife, but it goes into covenant relationships that happen in the church. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Look at the phrases that God joins, man divides. We have to work on that. So you will be tempted to be offended and leave and run. You'd be offended if you're in the power place, like you've been there longer, and the one that talks down to people or brings your point out or gets your way. We can't be doing that. We got to know the Bible says the spiritual one is a restorer. When was the last time we heard a message on that? Who puts things back together again? God gives us the ministry of reconciling, reconciliation, putting things back together again. Matthew 19, 16, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. We're required to steward over that relationship. Here's what we do. We have relationships that go up. Pastor isn't up for me. Pastor isn't up. He's earned that. He's been in that place. I call him up anytime. Tony isn't up. We need to have people above us. We need to have people beneath us. Not in the hierarchy standpoint, but people we're bringing up. People we're bringing up. We should have testimonies. I could tell you testimonies about people that were addicts, drunks, they were just life messed up, divorced, jobless, living with their mama, and God came into their life, and now they're prominent. They're a major player in our church after a couple of years. You bring people up. But see, you have to have a relationship savvy. You have to have relationship skills. You have to have relationship want. And that's an important thing in your life. God, all things become new. Well, and the old man was a divider. The new man is a reconciler. It is written. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. It's important. Relationships are critical in your life. There's a scripture, Proverbs 18 and 1, I believe it is. It says, "He who isolates himself, gives himself up." I'm paraphrasing. All kinds of stupid. If you get alone, it's dangerous. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to pull you off to your side. You get alone because you get offended. You get alone because somebody doesn't recognize you. You get alone because you're just immature, childish, and weak. But he who isolates himself makes himself vulnerable. But we know this, a threefold cord is not easily broken. How good and pleasant it is, Psalm 133, good and pleasant it is for us to dwell together in unity. You'll get far more done by being unified, synergized with someone than you are just doing your own thing. Relationships are critically important. You do more for yourself and those that are around you when you have the paradigm working right. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Relationships help to make us better. Pastor Ken makes me better. That's why I call him. I probably bother him. But I text him, stay in contact with him, because I need somebody above me. I am not an island. I am not going to let myself be isolated for any reason. And you shouldn't either. You should look for ways to make each other stronger. The way you go up is to lift somebody else up. Say amen, somebody. There's a scripture, 1 Corinthians 12 and 18. It says in there that God places us, everyone, as it pleases him. As it pleases. Here's what we do. We want to say, make the choice, find the church of your choice. No, find the church of his choice. And you hook up with who God puts you in. There's people you may hook up with that, you know, I don't even like them. You know, because, you know, they like Fords and I like Chevys. You know, why would I like anybody that liked the Fords? Just kidding. I don't want to hook up with Marvin. He's just too handsome. He just makes me feel bad. He's just a stud. So if I get him, I'm going to be looked down upon. Why would I hook up with him? Well, if the Lord says Marvin's the man, Marvin's the man. You know, there's been a lot of chances for me on the left coast to do other things. There's other ministries out there that we could plug in with and do closer things with. But see, it's no longer my own. It's not my life. This is where God put me. For some reason, supernatural, God opened up Dad Hagen and his books and things, and he brought me to Rainbow. My mama did not want me to move to Oklahoma to go to school. How many know mamas have a lot of power in your life? Amen. Mamas want to do things in your life, but God put me here. And I have a relationship today because I wouldn't let anything put it asunder. Not because you didn't have a chance and opportunity, but because I knew the voice of God said, this is the place. This is the place. You need to know the place where God's put your feet to plant. Now, I'm not saying, you know, my call is in Spokane. I have a responsibility there. But my affiliations, intent, my leadership effect, it comes from this place right here. It's multi-generational. Father, the son, and now look at it. Now look at it. Look what's going on at this place because of relationship power. God knows what he's doing, and he'll put you in places that you don't know necessarily what the future is. There's people that have, and you know, I don't want to touch things I'm not supposed to touch, but there's people that's left this organization for doors of opportunities that are man-made. Oh, it looks better. It looks better. It feels better. And you get a little pat in the back and things like that. But you know what? God didn't put you, as it pleases him, into something just because it feels good. Just because it looks good. And you got to know the difference between the sight opportunities and the heart decisions. It's so critical. And you can flip around and do things and you will miss your destiny because you disconnect by your choosing what God has joined together. Now, if God says do something, God's ultimate. Let him be God. I'm not taking his place. I'm not putting any legalism on you. But I'm telling you this, you better make sure God says you're to go there because it's tough sledding. It's a hard row when you do it on your own. Can you say amen? Amen, church? It's important. It's critical. The scripture says, know those that labor among you. That know isn't, hey, how you doing? Hey, it's good to see you. And you put something on Facebook, oh, they know me. No, they don't. They know you when you've had a few bad days. You stubbed your toe. You go through somebody with a crisis. That's when you begin to know them. You go through a death in the family. You go through a attack in your life. That's how you get to know somebody. I think this, that we have spiritual connects, but we don't have personal connects. And that's cheapening what God wants to do to you and through you. Are you out there, church? Yeah. Now, if we look at some things in the Bible examples, Paul and Timothy had a relationship. They were right and tight. They were strong. Paul was a father to Timothy. Timothy was a son to him. That's everybody wants to be the big dog. And here's what I found out in a few decades. Somebody's always got a bigger dog. Somebody's always got a bigger car, bigger church, bigger plane, bigger newsletter, some bigger bank account. Somebody's always bigger. Somebody's always bigger. So we don't let that be a driving force. You got to know those that labor among you. We got to know those people in a way. Paul knew Timothy. And he came to him one day in a corrective mode. And he says, look, I know who you are. I know what's in you. You have unfeigned faith in you. I'm paraphrasing. You have unfeigned faith in you. And he said, and I don't think it was just meant to be churchy words, but I think he said this, God's not giving you a timidity, a spirit of fear. Why are you backing out? That's how I'm reading that. Why are you cooling your jets? Why are you pulling back from things? God's not giving you a spirit of timidity, but he's put inside of you power and love and a sound mind. I know it because I saw it when we laid hands on you. Amen. And a gift was put inside of you. See, you don't get those kinds of things unless you have a relationship with somebody. Everybody say, I'm so cool. I'm too cool for school. And you know what? You ain't that cool. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, man, you just ain't all that cool. It's real time. It's real time. Let me share you about a relationship one more. Elijah and Elisha, a father and a son. Elijah was a pioneer. He had to get it done. He went to war. He had scars on his knuckles, I believe. He had calluses on his knees. This guy here did not make it through the school of etiquette. And he had Elisha that says, look, I see something in this guy, as rough as he is. I see something that I know God wants me to have. And in the last days of Elijah, I got to shorten up, last days of Elijah, he was going to go and he was leaving the earth. He was departing. He knew his earth days were done. And he wanted to go off by himself and just let it happen. Elisha wanted to tag along. And Elijah said to him, he says, look, you stay here. I'm going there. He said this, as my soul lives, I will not leave you. Who says that today? There's some. Let it be named among us. He did that like three or four times. He says, back off. Leave me alone. Now, three-fourths of the people I know would be offended by that and go off pout somewhere. Write a newsletter about it or something, or put it on TV and make up stuff to make them look good. And we're talking about Christians now. Am I preaching too hard right now? See, I'm from the left coast. So you got to give me a little grace. So, but now here, as the story goes on, Elisha said, no, I won't let that happen. And he just kind of let him tag along. And if he had not had that kind of tenacity to stick with his father in this faith, he would have never got the double portion. And when he left, he didn't say, oh, goody, I'm the anointed one now. He says, my father, my father. This guy had deeper things working inside of him. What's stirring inside of you? Relationships are important. You're here on a Wednesday night when the World Series is being played. And I don't care. Because the Seahawks aren't in it. No, I'm just kidding. I know it's the Mariners. I just threw that in. But here's the thing. Is that there's properties. You don't get what God wants to give unless you have a tie in a relationship. In a verse, I'm not going to be able to read it because our time is closing. But you can find this in Galatians 13, 5 through 18. Read it. It's incredibly powerful. It's about Abraham and Lot. When God called Abraham, he says, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to bless everybody in that touches you, that blesses you. And I will curse those that harm you. He built a covenant with Abraham. And we know that when he left, that Abraham, Sarah, and Lot went along. And all this time, this main story was Lot and Sarah, but Lot, or Abraham and Sarah, but Lot was always going along. If you read that chapter 13, you would see in time when they got down the road, they got to the plains of Mamre, this beautiful oasis that where Sodom and Gomorrah was, lush pastures. Beautiful ground. And they begin to fight. It says that Lot and Abraham, they grew in tents and in flocks and in herds. Lot and Abraham both grew, and they prospered. But they begin to fight over watering and feeding, and Lot's servants and shepherds and the keepers of the tents and the herds and the flock begin to fight with Abraham's. And Abraham, the patriarch that he was, says, we can't be doing this fighting stuff. We're not going to do this. He says, you choose. You go that way, I'll go the other. Whatever direction you choose, I will give you first right. And we know he chose the fertile ground, the best look that there was. And Abraham went the other direction. And right after that happened, when the strife stopped, God opened up and says, look at the stars. Look at the sand. That's how big you're going to be, boy. See, I'm telling you, you can't grow really if you don't know how to keep strife out of your life. Strife is a train wreck. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that. Strife is a train wreck. So Lot leaves. Time goes on. God works with Abraham. The story goes on and on and on about that. Not long after that, some marauding kings came through and stole a bunch of people from that region. Lot was in it, took them off, and who rescued him? The guy with the covenant. So he busted him out. Lot went back to his own ways. Not long after that, in time, the angel of the Lord came down and visited Abraham and says, shall I do something in the earth without first talking to my man? And he talked to him. And he says, if there be 50 righteous, 40 righteous, 30 righteous, he goes down, 10, I'll not destroy it. So he goes down there. He couldn't find 10, but he found 4. Lot, his wife, and 2 daughters. So they grabbed them, these angels did, and took him out, said, don't look back. His wife looked back. She turned into a pillar of salt. Lot and the 2 daughters, they went to the mountains to live. Now here's my final point. Lot was blessed because he was with Abraham. That's how it works. That's how it works. If you know that, you are with the providence of the Lord. I believe this, that I'm still in the game, still on the horse, because I've stayed in my lane. And Pastor Hagin isn't my Lord. He isn't my Savior, but he is an influence in my life. And I take that. Abraham's major mistake, or Lot's major mistake, was that he left the one that brought the blessing into his life. And he went down and he lived this life. And you know what happened? He eventually lost his herds, his tents, and his flocks. And he moved into the city. And when he left Sodom and Gomorrah, he had no more tents, no more flocks, and he had no more herds. And he went out of there and he lost his wife. They went up into the mountains. And what happened on that thing? He's had his lifestyle collapse. His daughter was untaught in righteous things. The daughters got him drunk, had sex, and they had 2 sons. Weird story. My grandpa's my daddy. My God, how twisted is that? That's a reality show. But here's what happened. They had a son. Each of those girls had a son. One was Moab, and one was Ammon. If you look at the history of Moab and Ammon, they became wicked people, and they fought every turn of the road against the Israelites. They were always pirates in their life. And what had to happen? God says, those tribes have got to die. And we can chase, there's a lot of reasons. I'm not trying to put something into it, I'm not. But I'm telling you, Lot's life dramatically changed when he did not keep his relationship right with Abraham, the man of covenant with God. God puts me in a place that is by his choosing. How many realize God knows more than you and God knows more than me? God has put me in places. I have friends all over the world. And when I know that God has put things together, I am steady. I'm on that. And I keep my heart in a discerning place. I don't want to leave my lane. I don't want to leave my place. Let me tell you, you'll be enticed and baited and wooed into things by the devil. He knows how to get you off course, to bite into the apple and listen to his message. Don't buy it. Amen, church. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not going to buy that. Turn your neighbor and tell him, I'm not going to buy that. We know how to, what God puts together, let no man put asunder. I know how to stay in that lane. It's an important principle. Why is the church so divided? Why is the church so lacking power and thing? I believe it's because of relationship weakness. Let's bow our heads. Father God, help us to be people that have covenant strengths. We know those people that we're called together, that iron sharpens iron, that we won't be offended because of truth and love, and we won't miss the mark, the worry with you've called us. Heritage, longevity, providence, these things are important in our life. I pray right now, Lord, that maybe somebody's here that has been tested and is troubled and maybe have left somewhere else because of ego, because of flesh. I just pray right now, Lord, you know how to restore the soul and know how to put people back together where they're supposed to be. That we don't miss our mark. There's people that's run away from this place because of earthly or sensual temptations. I pray, Lord God, that their eyes and understanding would be enlightened. They would know the hope of their calling. I'm thankful for this place, Lord God. I'm thankful for the leadership in my life. I'm thankful for the friends above me, the friends beside me, and the friends that we're all bringing up. I'm grateful for it. I ask that you bless this place, our friendship, in the awesome name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. Amen. Pastor.
Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible is full of relationships. And broken relationships is the reason that a lot of people never make it. In fact, just this June, I was there in Israel, and we were at the place, actually, down there where it's all desolate and where the Dead Sea is, it's all salt. That's where Lot's wife turned to the pillar of salt, and that whole area that used to be lush and green turned into nothing. I mean, it's horrible. But they say, and the Word of God talks about that it once again will flourish. That part will. I don't have time to teach all that. But that's a good word tonight. It's something that I have been aware of for many, many years with my dad. You stay hooked where the Lord puts you, whether you like it or whether you don't like it. If the Lord puts you there, you stay there. So praise the Lord. Now, if you're here and you don't know Jesus tonight, as we dismiss, I want you to come to the front. The lady's here to pray with you. You need to receive the Holy Spirit. You need somebody to pray with you about something. You come here and they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came.